Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is a special edition of the Baseball Tonight podcast. It is August 31st, 2020. We're taping this about an hour and a half after baseball's trade deadline. Taylor Schwenk is producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut. A busy day. Taylor, thanks for doing two podcast tapings in one day.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Got this, and this was the bread and the sandwich of we got some college football and golf in there. So I'm touching them all, as they say in the baseball world.
Yeah, a busy day for you. And David Schoenfield covers baseball for ESPN. Dave, how you doing?
I'm good. Much busier day, I think, than we all anticipated. So fun stuff this weekend.
Yeah, it was a classic trade deadline, hearing about things long after the 4 o'clock deadline came and went. And Sarah Langs, a reporter and a producer for MLB.com, we're catching her just before she's feeding our talent on our broadcast on Monday Night Baseball. Sarah, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Really fun day. Feel like a lot happened. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And look, normally we go through a list of winners and losers, but by acclamation, you know, we'll all say the San Diego Padres were the winners. Sarah, what did you think about what the Padres did?
Oh my gosh. So I have been embedded in a spreadsheet since like 11:30 this morning, trying to really quantify exactly what they did. And I think I have the stat here. So they've acquired 8 players who, and we'll go through them all, you know, but they've acquired 8 players who played in the majors at some point this year. So that's everybody you've heard about, except for Austin Adams, who's hurt. He's a reliever who came from the Mariners. I am 98% sure that that's the most major league talent acquired in the month of the deadline, because some of these trades were a couple days ago, by any team. And that just tells you exactly what you need to know, which is just there are so many players. We have Mike Clevenger, we have Mitch Moreland, Austin Nola, Jason Castro, Dan Altavilla, Trevor Rosenthal, Greg Allen, and Taylor Williams. So a lot of major league talent right there.
Dave, what do you think it does for the Padres?
Yeah, look, I would say this. The Dodgers are still the team to beat. But I think 4 days ago, the Dodgers were so far ahead of every other team in the National League. They were the overwhelming favorite to win the NL. Caveat, anything can happen in the playoffs. But now, to me, the Padres are a very strong number two team in the National League. They gave up a lot. They gave up a lot of future depth. But they're better in 2020. And Mike Clevenger is going to be around, presumably, for a couple more years. So they're going to be better in 2021. They were already the most exciting team, I think, in baseball this year, and now they just ratcheted up another notch.
Yeah, and Sarah, you saw Mike Clevenger's excitement when he spoke to the reporters about going to the Padres. He's like, you know, that's the team everyone's talking about. I'm paraphrasing there. What do you think Clevenger does for the Padres?
Yeah, I think it's just another reliable arm in that rotation that they just absolutely need. And I think that we talk a lot of times about moves being a little bit for October as well. And this definitely feels like one of those. I mean, as we've said, this has been a really good team. They've, you know, maybe had a couple ups and downs, but for the most part, looking up at the Dodgers, but been really good. But this is the move that helps you potentially get ahead of the Dodgers and at the very least be doing well in October, because you've got another really reliable starter.
You know, Dave, last fall, Ron Fowler, the CEO of the Padres, basically came out and put everybody in the organization on notice, you know, saying in so many words, look, we have to take a step forward in 2020, including myself, or else everyone's going to get fired, including myself. you know, and he really put the pressure on the team. And I got to say, you know, at a trade deadline when clearly a lot of teams, and I think we could put the Yankees in this category, maybe put the Dodgers in this category, sort of held back their ammunition. Because probably in some regards to the uncertainty about whether or not they're going to be fans in the stands for next year. We saw the Yankees lay off 150 employees. They've lost a ton of money. Every team's lost a ton of money. That didn't matter for the Padres.
Yeah. You know, look, this is the year. It's easy to say, no, we're going to lose money. We don't want to bring on salary. We're not going to do anything. Anything can happen in the playoffs. So, yeah, AJ Preller, look, we know he's not afraid to make a trade. They're a lot better team. What? Playoff drought. 2006 was the last time. Third longest in the majors. I think the last time they even finished over 500 was, what, 2010? So this is a franchise long stuck in the mud. It's a good, young, exciting team. But they also have that nice veteran core, you know, with Manny Machado, Eric Hosmer, and so on. Buster, that lineup, Sarah, they now have 5 guys that currently have an OPS over 1,000. And I know some of those numbers are going to regress, but it's a really good lineup and now a potentially really good rotation.
Sarah, was there a deal that, you know, involving any team, not just the Padres, a deal today where you're like, wow?
Well, you know, I thought the Archie Bradley going to the Reds was pretty interesting. I mean, I think that was one of these ones that we got as, you know, the buzzer beaters we talk about. And I think the Reds are one of these teams that really feels like they're on that bubble, you know, to use two basketball terms in one phrase there. But, you know, they've been, everyone expected them to be really good. The offense has really struggled. I know Mike Petriello was talking about that, and all of you guys were talking about that on the Baseball Tonight just a little while ago. And it seems to be a move where they think that maybe they are still in this. And as we've talked about, so many teams are. But I thought that was really, really interesting. One of the bigger names we were expecting to potentially see dealt from the Diamondbacks. And, you know, just not having the best year this year, but his strikeout rate's still really good. And I was surprised. I thought they might not make a deal.
Yeah, a week ago, there was a lot of talk that maybe they would trade Trevor Rosenthal, who's a free agent at year's end, and cash in on his value. And when I first heard that, my thought, Dave, was that, you know what, that whoever's saying that doesn't know Bob Castellini, the Reds owner, who's like a Midwestern version of George Steinbrenner in that he wants to be aggressive. He wants to win. They spent a lot of money in the offseason to upgrade this team. And look, it's such a weird year in a short season that, you know, even though we've talked about the Reds as being, you know, quote unquote, a failure, you know, they're 15-19. They're only a game and a half out of the eighth spot of the wild card. You win three games in a row. We just saw this with the Phillies in the last week, where a week ago it was like, oh, the Phillies are a disaster. And now the Phillies are right in the mix. So I, you know, to me, that was the right response given the resources they spent in the offseason.
Yeah, I agree. And look, all you got to do, get in as that eighth seed, best of three series. You run out Trevor Bauer, Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo. You can beat the Dodgers with those three guys starting. The Archie Bradley pickup, as Sarah mentioned, that's a nice acquisition. Their late game bullpen, really the last 2 years, has been a problem. So that adds some depth there. And like, their offense has been so horrible, can only do better the rest of the way. I would have maybe liked to see them pick up a center fielder. Their center fielders have really struggled this year. Nick Senzel's injured right now, so that's been a problem area. But yeah, the Reds, I would not want to face them in the first round of the playoffs.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Sarah, I always leave it to you to assess the moves made by your favorite team, the New York Mets. I got to say, I was a little confused by some of it. But again, you know, as we were talking about with the Reds, heck, we know that the Mets kind of went in all in to win this year. And I'm guessing that the acquisition costs and the guys they got, the veterans they got today, weren't that great.
Yeah, it sort of feels like maybe this is 2020 trades. This is what we get because of everything we've talked about with the uncertainty of whether you're really in the race at this point or who thinks they are. But it was interesting to see them get, you know, Robinson Chirinos, Todd Frazier, Miguel Castro. I mean, it's interesting. These are veteran guys. Todd Frazier coming back to the Mets is, I think, probably Twitter's favorite thing about this deadline because everybody is making the joke again. Did you know he's from New Jersey? And, you know, we have to get that in. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think that they gave much away with any of this. So you can't necessarily, I don't think there's really much to knock, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's incremental differences, familiarity, veteran presence, anything like that. But I don't think that they're, you know, the world's most notable deals, but they made them.
The Toronto Blue Jays, Dave, added some more pitching. You know, they'd already made the move for Taijuan Walker. And then we hear long after the deadline today that they also added Ross Stripling and they added Robbie Ray in a deal with the Arizona Diamondbacks. What do you think about what the Blue Jays did?
Yeah, it's an interesting push. I think right now they're still only the number 8 seed, but they're, you know, they're only game behind the Yankees. They've had some injuries in the rotation. Look, these are rolls of the dice. Stripling hasn't pitched well. Robbie Ray maybe has been the worst starter in the majors this year. 31 walks, I think, in 31 innings. But look, he's a power lefty, high strikeout rate. He's had some mechanical issues this year. Look, all you're hoping for is he suddenly finds it and gives you 6 good starts. And again, that's a team, if he puts it together. Taijuan Walker's been solid, you know. Ryu is, you know, a top quality starter. You don't want to face that team in a 3-game series.
It felt like, Sarah, that the Cubs were being very precise in things that they did, adding for specific matchups, perhaps in the playoffs, a couple left-handed relievers and outfielder Cameron Maybin.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting to see Josh Osich, going over, and Cameron Maybin, definitely an interesting kind of deal. It does feel very specific. I agree with that. And we've seen, especially with the relievers, I mean, we've seen how that bullpen has been. We've seen Craig Kimbrell even recently. I mean, the walk-off wild pitch the other day, what was that, on Saturday? He's definitely struggled. And I think that they needed to find a way to help their bullpen, add lefties there to that bullpen, which they did with Osich, but still not necessarily have to make that decision of what are we doing with Craig Kimbrell.
I think the big question in part about what Oakland did, Dave, is, you know, which Mike Minor are they going to see? They're going to see at some point the Mike Minor that the Rangers had last year, a career best season, or is he going to continue to struggle as he did for most of his first starts this year? I personally love the Tommy La Stella trade. I think Tommy La Stella is a great add for a team that figures to be in the postseason and maybe do some damage in October.
No, I love it too. Oakland, one of the highest strikeout rates in the majors. La Stella is the hardest player in the majors to strike out. He can play second. They can DH him. Chris Davis has not had a good year, so he gives him some versatility. Yeah, Mike Minor's velocity is down a little, but the A's, keep in mind, they might have a bunch of doubleheaders now based on how many days they don't play because of the positive COVID test in the organization. So adding a little depth in the rotation doesn't hurt.
I think, you know, a lot of conversation at the deadline, Sarah, that the Yankees didn't do anything. And the more that I thought about that, consider the polarized nature of the American League standings, I wonder if that's got something to do with it. As of you and I talking, 7 of the 8 teams, the first 7 teams in the American League race, have at least a 94% chance of making the playoffs. And the Blue Jays right now are the number 8 seed, and their chances are like 78 or 79%. So if you're the Yankees, if you're Brian Cashman, and you're sitting there, and yeah, you could have tried to go and be aggressive to, you know, to go and get a Lance Lynn or Mike Clevinger, but ultimately, your success or failure is going to depend on whether or not Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and Gleyber Torres comes back, and you're feeling pretty good anyway that you're going to be in the dance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in fact, what you said about the playoff odds is something I was actually noticing the other day, just the differences with the American League and the National League, and I think that that's exactly why. I mean, the Yankees will probably be one of the teams that people talk about as potentially a loser of the deadline just because they didn't do anything, but all of the uncertainty, everything we've talked about, I'm not sure that what the asking price must have been for Lance Lynn would have been worth that. I mean, I think we saw that prices were pretty high during this deadline, at least for that elite kind of talent and those names that we expected to be dealt. And as it stands now, the only team with higher playoff odds, as you said, is the A's in the American League. And I just think that, you know, it's like last year, they're waiting for guys to get healthy, and that took them all the way to Game 6 of the American League Championship Series last year. And but for a walk-off home run, they might be in the World Series. So I, you know, it's hard for that lightning to strike twice in order to have that success, even with guys hurt. But they're the Yankees. They're still really good. They're still playing some bad teams in the AL and NL East. That's going to help them at least down the stretch.
I'm going to ask both of you what you thought about Cleveland's decision to trade Mike Clevinger. Dave, we'll start with you.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Look, I get it. Long term, they've added a lot of depth to the organization. I really like the shortstop, Gabriel Arias, 19-year-old, played well in Class A last year. But he's a long shot. You never know, 19-year-old kid. But I also feel their chances of winning the World Series this year decreased. None of the guys they acquired really project as impact players for this year. That's a depth trade. It's not a – they didn't fill their outfield. Their outfielders have a 582 collective OPS, second worst in the majors. They didn't get that big bat in return. So I guess if I'm a Cleveland fan right now, I kind of have mixed reviews. Yeah, you have the rotation depth, but I don't think the lineup really got any better for 2020, and that hurts their World Series chances.
I think what's going to determine that ultimately, Sarah, is the success or failure of Josh Naylor, the 23-year-old that they got in this deal from the Padres. He was a first-round pick, 12th pick overall in 2015 draft. You know, he's told by sources that the Indians' intention is to play him in left field every day for the rest of the year. Look, I think it's a roll of the dice. You know, they've made a number of trades in recent years for outfielders, and they haven't always panned out.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen so many attempts at filling that outfield void. We saw with Yasiel Puig last year. We saw with getting Framil Reyes. Obviously, he's been good for them, but it hasn't been quite enough. It's just hard to know if this will be what solves it, but I mean, at least they're trying. I mean, one positive with Josh Naylor that I see is his strikeout rate is really low. So, you know, you think of, okay, young, inexperienced outfielder. I don't know. I think high strikeout rate, but that's not what he does at the plate. But I do think it ultimately just hinges on even just hitting a little bit better. I mean, this is a team that has been last in the league in slugging for most of the year, and that pitching is so good. And I do think that it is a credit to the organization and the development, you know, player development that, you know, we see Tristan McKenzie come up. We see that they're okay pitching wise to get rid of Mike Clevinger, even if, as Dave said, it didn't necessarily make their lineup any better for this year. But I think that the pitching is there. It's just a question of whether these guys can get going. And even Francisco Lindor, Carlos Santana, you know, the veteran guys who we know are good on this team, it's just not all clicking at the right time, you know, with Jose Ramirez too. So it feels like they should be able to hit more. And I will reserve some hope for them that it just works out in some way.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Give me the name of a team, Dave, that you were surprised didn't do more than they did.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Braves. I know they got Tommy Malone the other day. He got racked in his first start with them. Their rotation, I know you mentioned this on the Baseball Tonight show, Buster. Outside of Max Fried, all the other starters are 1-10 with a 7.23 ERA. Look, I know they're in first place. The division is not good, but how are you going to make it through an entire postseason with Max Fried and who else in that rotation? So I thought they needed to add another starter.
From what I understand, look, they were in conversations with the Indians about Clevinger. They talked to the Texas Rangers about Lance Lynn. You know, they talked with the Mariners about Taijuan Walker before he wound up being traded to the Toronto Blue Jays. And they just didn't see a fit. And the one thing I'd say about that, and Dave, I'm with you. I was surprised they didn't add somebody, is that part of, you know, what's made Alex Anthopoulos a success so far as a general manager of the Braves is he's been pretty patient. Like, he hasn't rushed very much. Sarah, what do you make of what the Braves did?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. They were who I was going to say before Dave said it. I think the patience is a good point, but I mean, we saw the pitching on display last night in that game, and the fact that they almost lost with the 10-run lead in the second inning. I think that, you know, I think people had a lot higher hopes for the Braves entering the year compared to what we've seen. Obviously, Mike Soroka getting hurt early in the year does not help, but the pitching just hasn't been what you might have expected. I don't know if someone like Felix Hernandez was going to be much of an impact, but obviously him not being there, Cole Hamels, that issue, it hasn't been what I think I thought they might run away with the division, to be honest. And we're obviously not seeing that, but I think it also speaks to sort of the opposite of the Yankees concept. But I think that in the National League, it's like, unless you're the Dodgers, we can all sort of middle around here, and a couple of us are going to make the playoffs and, you know, obviously could at least get decently far. And I think that may be sort of what the Braves are relying on.
Maybe at the end of the day for me, Dave, the biggest surprise is the fact that the Texas Rangers didn't trade Lance Lynn. And I feel like that they've made this mistake before. You remember the year that they, you know, traded Yu Darvish. It felt like they just waited and waited and waited for, you know, this great deal to emerge, and they wound up basically taking 60 cents in the dollar because he got bombed in his last start in Texas, and they never quite got that. Last year, Mike Minor was having a career year. There were teams interested. The Rangers decided to keep him, and maybe that was because they were opening up a new ballpark this year. Lance Lynn is having the greatest start to any season in his career. He is a very affordable contract for 2021. I don't know what the value is, you know, because he's an older guy. He's more of a plow horse. He's not a guy who's going to blow any hitters away. But at the same time, I thought the Rangers would go through the process, determine what the highest offer was, and make a move, because I don't see him winning next year.
No, I'm with you. I feel the Rangers right now, Buster, are a little directionless. I mean, I look at that defense. You know, they're playing Nick Solak, who's basically a bad defensive second baseman, in center field. You know, Shin-Soo Chu, a DH, is playing left field. You know, Rougned Odor, just, it's time to give up on this guy. He can't hit. You know, they don't have any production at catcher. So, yeah, and point being, I don't think they're going to win in 2021, and they should have traded Lance Lynn.
Sarah, what'd you make of what the Phillies did, adding another reliever today, David Phelps, after adding relief help before?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen them continuously try. Obviously, they added Brandon Workman. They've made other moves already. Workman in his first outing, not the greatest, but, you know, since then probably will calm down. We know how much they need bullpen help right there. I mean, it's on track to be the worst bullpen ever, at least as far as earned runs go and as far as we really trust relief pitching, you know, when saves became official. But this team, I think you mentioned it earlier, the entire atmosphere around the team, I think, has changed certainly over the last week or so. We're seeing just how great Bryce Harper is yet again, and the Braves are faltering a little bit. And all of a sudden, a Phillies team that felt like it was on track to finish in maybe fourth place, maybe fifth place with how the Marlins have been playing, all of a sudden, it feels like the division is within reach. So it was good to see them get someone. I still think, you know, nobody got Josh Hader. Obviously, an addition like that would have been completely, you know, transformative for this team's hopes, but it's good to see that they at least still attempted to address it.
So we saw the Boston Red Sox, Dave, their head of baseball operations, Chaim Bloom, made a lot of deals, right? You know, he traded Brandon Workman. He traded Heath Embry in that deal they made with the Phillies, 10 days ago. And then leading up the deadline, he trades Mitch Moreland. He trades Kevin Pillar. He trades Osich. And I think that was the right thing to do, but the one part of all this that I kind of worry about for him is they're now 12-22. They're horrible. Their run differential is minus 50. They have arguably, you know, the worst pitching in all of baseball. And you kind of cringe at what's to come down the stretch here. And I had an executive mention to me that while all of this makes sense and the decision to trade Mookie Betts wasn't Himes, what it might do if they have this absolutely horrendous, awful season is that it might actually start the clock with Chaim Bloom in terms of his expiration date in Boston. So because whether it's the fan base or whether it's ownership, they might just start get a little impatient, maybe sooner than we expected, brought on by this terrible year.
Yeah, I think it's an absolutely fair point, Buster. And I get it. The rebuilding thing is kind of shit because of how it worked for the Cubs and the Astros. But keep in mind, rebuilding is really, really hard. And if you're an 80-win team, it's a lot easier to get to 95 wins than if you're a 60-win team. And that's what the Red Sox are. I mean, they're not even a 60-win team over a regular season. They're a bad, bad baseball team right now. And that's with Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. And maybe you hope JD Martinez, you know, bounces back next year. But they're a long way now from being competitive. So it's going to be your 2 or 3 year cycle for the Red Sox.
Because we just got past the trade deadline, you each get a mulligan on your World Series picks, which I think we're on like round 8. Because we had the spring training World Series picks and then the summer camp World Series picks. And then we had the opt-out World Series picks. I'm going to give you post-trade deadline World Series picks. Sarah, we start with you. Who you got?
So I think I had the Dodgers and the Yankees the first time around. I'm keeping the Dodgers, but I'm going to go Dodgers-Rays. And I would really like to see that one. And I'm going to say I'm going to keep picking the Dodgers to finally win their first World Series since 1988 until they actually do it. So I'm going to go with that.
So you're not worried about the Rays with the massive pitching injuries they have. That's not scaring you off.
I mean, they have all those injuries and they're still so good. So I'm going to take the optimistic route and say that maybe some of those guys will come back. And if not, it hasn't been an issue.
Dave, you're going to take the mulligan.
No, I had Dodgers Rays. I forget. I think I picked the Dodgers over the Rays. So I'll stick with that. I don't know how they're doing it. What is it? 10 or 11 pitchers on the IL, 3 Tommy John surgeries. But, you know, they still have Blake Snell. They still have Tyler Glasnow. They get Charlie Morton back. You know, that's still a 1-2-3. And I think they could put you, me, and Sarah in that bullpen and we get the job done. You know, no matter who they come up with, it's like lights out down there. So, yeah, no reason for me to change.
Yeah, you guys reading off each other's notes. I can't believe it. All right.
Who did you have, Buster? Let's hear
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Oh, we're out of time on that one. Thanks for joining us on the roundtable. I appreciate it, Sarah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Buster.
Thanks, Dave.
You bet.
Thanks, Taylor.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening to this special edition of the Baseball Tonight podcast from Monday at about 5:00.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.